And we are back. Welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. I'm Dave Clark and he is Steve Palmer, and this is the US Open wrap-up and, of course, a preview of this week's action. How are you, Steve?
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. Trying to stay cool and calm. We've got some extreme temperatures, haven't we? I'm trying to stay cool and calm. I'm going to stay cool and calm regardless of the temperature now. I've turned over a new leaf, Dave. This is my new motto, to be Mr. Calm, because my son is extremely lacking in calm. And I feel like I'm setting him a bad example, you know, by being a little bit explosive myself. So, yeah, you're going to see a new Steve from now on, Dave. Cool, calm, collected, setting a good example for his children. So, yeah, I'm OK, thank you. I hope you're well. You must be very pleased with the Clark victory. I mean, your brother... Your brother has won the US Open. How were the family celebrations, Dave?
Yeah, well, listen, we don't like him either. So, you know,
is he the black sheep of the family, is he?
Indeed. Yeah, we'll get onto all of that. We'll get onto all of that. Popularity contest as well as a golf tournament that happened last week. Right, you're of course here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do get involved with us. Like, comment, subscribe. Do comment. We want to hear, did you manage to find the winner last week, Wyndham Clark? He was one of the form horses. Sam Burns was up there as well. Let us know. Hopefully, a few people out there did, and hopefully they found him with the SBK as well to take advantage of the winnings boost. But get involved with us. We want to hear from you. Of course, we are proudly sponsored by SBK. We're official betting partners of the DP World Tour, and we're off to the Italian Open this week as well, so we'll get onto all of that. But do take advantage of the new customer offer with SBK. Jump onto the website, betsbk.com. You can get £60 in free bets when you place your first £20 bet. All the terms and conditions are on the website, 18 plus, gamble aware. Of course, I think we should just dive straight into the US Open, Steve. Wyndham Clark, the winner, 4 under par. Sam Burns, 3 under par. Tom Kim, 1 under par. And that is your lot, only 3 players under par. At what was a brutal week of golf. JT Poston, Keith Mitchell, Scottie Scheffler, level par. 64, 69, 70 and 73 from the winner. What did you make of it, Steve?
Yeah, I think that was about one of the few things we got right was the winning score. We said a few under par, and yeah, I thought Shinnecock Hills played fairly throughout. You know, there was a lot of concerns going in about whether it'd be a repeat of the 2018 debacle. You know, your Phil Mickelsons, your Zach Johnsons, everyone was losing their head. But I thought the USGA were magnificent. I thought they provided a really fair test and a thrilling US Open. And yeah, all credit to Wyndham Clark, because it was a really gutsy victory. It was astonishing to see an American attempting to win a US Open in America, and the crowd being so heinous towards him. We mentioned the New York crowd and the concerns we had for other players, our European Ryder Cuppers, your Rory McIlroys, your John Rahms. But Wyndham Clark, and I've never seen an American in the US Open get such a rough ride from the spectators. But I mean, he has rubbed people up the wrong way. You know, why is the black sheep of your family? You know, he destroyed the locker room at Oakmont last year, didn't he, in the US Open? And yeah, you can see why he rubs people up the wrong way. But I just thought it was a tad harsh, Dave. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I do understand it, but it's kind of like, you know, as you mentioned last week, like the crowd there are a bit boisterous, aren't they? And they want to latch on to some kind of hero and a villain, I suppose. Yeah. And it was the perfect, you know, storm in a teacup, really, wasn't it? In that you had Scottie Scheffler, it was his birthday, he's going for the career Grand Slam, he's trying to chase down, you know, if Wyndham Clark had gone like 5 under par on the front nine, it would have been pretty boring. And they were just trying to make it exciting, I think.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, they were definitely pro Scottie Scheffler. It felt like they were anti. They just wanted anyone but Wyndham Clark to win. Yeah. But I think Scheffler was the one they wanted to win. You understand that, you know, going for the career Grand Slam. They want to witness history. You know, if you pay good money to buy a ticket for these things, any sport, it's great when you're there when history is made. And it would have been nice for them if Scheffler had won. But I just thought when Clark started out with a 6-shot lead, to see that whittled down to 1. Mm. I thought it was really courageous on the final hole, actually, because that last hole is difficult. And, you know, he handled that really well. That lag putt on the final green was really impressive. And he's in illustrious company now. I mean, maybe you should make contact again, try and let bygones be bygones, because you know he's won two majors now, and that automatically puts you in, by that measure, that puts you in the top 90 players of all time. You know, loads of players have won one major. Yeah, to become a multiple major champion, it makes you truly elite. And I'll name some of the players that are only on two majors. You know, household names like Johnny Miller in the past, Tony Jacklin, Sandy Lyle, Greg Norman, Jose Maria Olazabal. Yeah, these are names that, you know, legends of the game. They all won only two majors, Dave. And in the current crop, there's a lot of players that have got stuck on two majors. You know, John Rahm's only won two majors. Bryson DeChambeau's won two majors. Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele. So, you know, Clark has really elevated himself with that win. And as I say, he's in the top 90 golfers of all time now.
Yeah, and listen, the first two home were two of, if not the best putters currently on the tour, Wyndham Clark and Sam Burns. That's not by coincidence, is it?
No. The greens were very, very tricky. I mean, they were controversially slow at the start of the tournament because of the strong winds. But as I say, I think Shinnecock, the USGA, played an absolute blinder with the setup. But you're right. You know, touch on those greens was very important. I mean, Sam Burns, you know, we were talking about throwing him in my bin last week, weren't you? I nearly threw him in my bin, and then he nearly won the US Open. I'm glad I didn't throw him in the bin, but yeah, that frailty that we were concerned about exposed itself on the 15th hole, didn't it? I mean, that part on the 15th hole was so poor. Yeah, as you say, the best putter on the PGA Tour, and he's missed a tiddler there with the tournament on the line, made bogey at 15, and that just took all the pressure off Clark. Well, not all the pressure, but yeah, if Burns had made par at that 15th hole, the pressure on Clark, he may well have buckled. It was a nice little cushion that he gave him. But Sam Burns, not in the bin, but I think I've still only got one player in my bin, Patrick Cantlay. But I do have my doubts about his finishing ability. But I really felt for him afterwards. He was in floods of tears afterwards, Sam Burns. There was a lot of emotion around on Sunday, though.
So, yes, Dave, it was a good showing from the birthday boy, Tom Kim.
Yeah, nice to see Tom Kim back. They had a lovely birthday cake, him and Scotty. Got the same birthday. They had a birthday cake before they went out for the final round. Fantastic photo. See if you can find it. Thomas the Tank Engine lost a bit of self-esteem, Dave. You remember he got sacked by his caddy, Joe Skovran, sacked Tom Kim to go and take Ludwig Aubert's bag. And that's a real crippling blow for Tom Kim's self-esteem, because he went off the boil for a long time. It's only very recently he's shown signs of coming back. He went off 200-1 last week. But Kim, an absolute prodigy, won three times on the PGA Tour by the age of 21. But hasn't won since. He turned 24 on Sunday. So, yeah, hopefully Tom Kim's going to win PGA Tour titles again, because he's a great character. But it's another example of how the benefits of staying calm, Dave, because did you notice after he held that birdie part on the 16th hole, got overexcited, went to the crowd, giving it the big one, and then promptly bogeyed the 17th hole to end his chance. So,
Adrenaline dump, we call that.
Yeah, an adrenaline dump. Blimey, Dave. Yeah. Yeah, if you need to take one of them during this broadcast, be my guest. Stay calm, Dave, is the message.
I do always try to. I would have been a buyer at 24, actually. I thought he was a little bit older than that.
Yeah, well, he's been around a long time now. An absolute prodigy. And, the fact that the American crowd wanted him to win rather than Wyndham Clark says a lot, because Tom Kim in the President's Cup has been a very feisty character, and you know, him and Clark have been at loggerheads in the President's Cup. But the Americans wanted the South Korean to beat him on Sunday. So, we'll see how the crowd treats Wyndham Clark from now on. He's playing this week in the Travelers Championship.
Okay, right. We touched briefly on Scheffler. Have you got anything else to add on him before we discuss some of the other big guns?
Well, we got the Scheffler problem again in the Travelers Championship. He's hot favourite for the Travelers Championship this week. 4-1 favourite. Got a good record after majors, actually. I remember he won the Heritage straight after a major. We'll discuss Scheffler in the Travelers preview. I think Wacom Neiman deserves a great deal of discussion.
Top South American?
Yeah, top South American. Yeah. Thank goodness. Yeah, we were a bit worried about Emiliano Grillo at one point. But Wacom Neiman finished top South American. But that was despite a two-shot penalty, Dave. He got a two-shot penalty. So he tied seventh in the tournament and only lost the tournament by five shots. But he dropped seven shots
his 15th hole of round one. So yeah. that was the sixth hole on the golf course. And you know, he hit two drives out of bounds, Dave. Then again, stay calm. Hit two drives out of bounds, but then made it worse by launching a club 50 yards. Pretty reckless behaviour. So a two-shot penalty for that. So he ended up carding an 11 on a par four. So an 11 on a par four contributed to a round 178. Then a brilliant comeback on Friday to land top South American honours. But yeah, interesting times for Wacom Neiman. You know, clearly back to his best. And he's playing on the DP World Tour this week. We'll discuss him.
Well, yeah, he's the favourite as well. But Sahith Theegala was lucky not to get a two-shot penalty as well. Did you see that? He hit one out of the rough and he didn't throw the club. He lost it into the crowd.
Yeah, it was an accidental one, wasn't it? Yeah, the club just got so stuck in the rough and then it went... Yeah. It went over the top of the gallery, that one. There was a lovely angle of that one. Yeah, watching golf's a dangerous game, Dave. Sahith didn't deserve any penalty there. I mean, they may have made a rod for their own back here by punishing him. I think he should have been punished for that. It was a reckless thing. And you can kill someone if you throw a golf club in their head.
Yeah.
So you do need to punish it. But there have been other examples of, you know, Sergio García disgraced himself at the Masters. And
I've seen Rory launch at least one into the drink. At least one.
Yeah, sure. Well, this is a new rule that's come in this season, so I think they're going to have to be on it because you need eyes everywhere to follow this. But yeah, Wacom Neiman, obviously a LIV player, so it was the LIV guys were sort of saying it was special treatment for the liver, but I don't think it was. It was just he shouldn't have thrown a golf club in anger like that. But yeah, stay calm, Wacom. Stay calm, Dave. Tommy Fleetwood stayed calm throughout it because he always does. You know, he's got a fantastic temperament. He is Mr. Calm, and that bogey on the last hole, an absolute hammer blow for Fleetwood backers. You know, one shot better for Fleetwood and one shot better for Xander Schauffele, and my financial situation, Dave, will be so much better than it is. Yeah, fine margins in this game, isn't it? And Fleetwood bogey in the 72nd hole was a disaster. But
how calm was you at that point?
Well, I don't know whether I turned over my new leaf on.
You got a two-shot penalty for throwing the remote across the room.
Yeah, I think I went to turn the leaf over about midnight on Sunday night. So, don't worry. Yeah, this is a new Steve. Fine margins. They're both tied 11th, Fleetwood and Schauffele. And Jackson Koivun.
I don't mind revealing that we had a bit of a team bet, although individually. And he killed us, didn't he, on the Saturday?
Was that the two balls? Yeah, that was the two balls. Yeah. I mean, Jackson Koivun, top amateur bet. The tops and specials went really well.
Yeah.
We got Brooks Koepka to miss the cut. Bryson DeChambeau went to the members to miss the cut. And Wacom Neiman, of course. But Jackson Koivun, top amateur, was looking so good. And then Ryder Cowan hit an amazing
hell
tee
of a
shot.
Name.
Yeah, it's a good name. He hit an amazing tee shot on the 17th hole. I mean, there's only 50% of the field was hitting the green on the 17th hole. And so I felt pretty confident when he only... You know, Koivun just needed Cowan to not pick up any shots over 17 and 18. He finishes birdie par to tie Koivun for top amateur with an amazing shot at 17. But we talked about Koivun finishing in the top 20, potentially, because he's that good. And he finished 23rd. So, yeah, Jackson Koivun is an amazing player. And, keep him on your side. Turned pro yesterday. Jackson Koivun's a professional golfer. Keep an eye on him.
Okay, other big guns, Mr. McIlroy.
Yeah, Mr. McIlroy, some really untidy approach play. Back-to-back 73s at the weekend. So, was in it at halfway, but then just some awful wedges. Tied 32nd in the end. Cameron Young did the same stuff over the weekend, back-to-back 73s. Cameron Young tied 43rd. Yeah, that dip in form since winning at Doral has been sharp. But those two still did better than Bryson DeChambeau, Mr. Cut, Brooks Koepka, Mr. Cut. John Rahm, third favourite, short price. We didn't get any joy last week with Fleetwood and Schauffele narrowly missing out on the proper places. But at least we didn't fall for the John Rahm. You know, John Rahm, Mr. Cut in the Masters when well fancied, Mr. Cut in the US Open when well fancied. Rahm's got some questions to answer.
Did you see Rory giving it to the crowd again? Let me ask you, if the final pairing had been Wyndham Clark and Rory McIlroy, who do you think the crowd would have been cheering for?
That's a brilliant question, Dave. Yeah, really, really good, really good question. Yeah, maybe
because I think they just would have anyone but these two and not even watched.
Yeah, they would probably be nasty to both of them and just you know, wouldn't want either of them to win. Yeah, I mean, I did see the clip you meant. Are you referring to the big fella who gave Rory a load of abuse?
Yeah, I love it. Just give it back to him. Why not?
Get in the sand. Well, did he say, I hope you live in the sand or something? I don't know what he was shouting, but yeah, it's quite tragic, isn't it, when you're looking for clips. Yeah, he's filmed himself doing that, thinking, oh, I'm the big guy. I'm going to get loads of likes on Twitter or whatever they do. That is about as pathetic as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah. Just, I don't know what sort of mindset that is, but it is what it is. Like, there are people out there, aren't there? So.
Yeah, there are people out there.
But Mr. McIlroy didn't go to bed that night thinking of that bloke. Let's put it that way.
Well, he didn't get him ejected, did he? There's been times where McIlroy's gone to the stewards and said, get him out. He just went for a fat jibe on him, didn't he? Which I didn't appreciate because I'm putting on a lot of weight. I don't think that should be a jibe.
And we all, yeah.
We've all got our little beer bellies. The New York crowd, I mean, yeah, the Ryder Cup followed by that, you have got to factor that in. I mean, you've got to factor that into your calculations on a rough ride. But, yeah, Wyndham Clark's proven that you can overcome such problems.
Okay, right. Anything else to add before we move on to previewing?
No. We've got one more major to come in next month, the Open at Birkdale. So, we'll be looking for more joy in that one.
I'm sure we'll gather it as well. Not a problem. Right. We will start then, chronological order. We're going to go with the Italian Open then. First stage in 1925, 83rd edition. Nomadic event, but this venue has staged this event previously, 2013-2014. Previous winners, Sadier, Siem, Maronk, McIntyre, Højgaard. Where are we?
We are at the Blue Course, Circolo Golf Torino, Fiano, Torino, Italy. 7,214 yards, par 71, three par 5s, a classic old woodland test. As you say, hosted the Italian Open 1999, 2013, 2014. We also had a Challenge Tour event here in 2008. Just one round of that event was used on this course, the Piemonte Open. The winning score in the last Italian Open at this track was 20 under par. 68 players finished under par. It's a flat layout, narrow fairways lined by mature oak and birch trees. So accuracy from tee to green is the key to success, and an ability to handle hot weather is important this week, Dave. Yeah, it's hot over here in England. It's very hot, even hotter in Italy. We've got sunny, calm and sweltering conditions. Temperatures peaking at 37°C on Sunday. You need a calm head. Stay calm. A field of 156 going to post. Place your bets by 6 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
Okay, and remind us of attribute. We're going for accuracy?
You have to find the fail. Driving accuracy would be the key, but yeah, accuracy through the bag. You can. It's a relatively short course. You can score well if you find the cut and prepared. So just follow straight hitters.
Okay, right. Let's do a show. Before I do, you have turned over a new leaf, Steve. It's nice to see you hydrated in the right way. No Coca-Cola this week.
No Coca-Cola. Maybe the E numbers.
H2O.
Yeah. No, I've had a nice iced coffee. Now I'm having a water. And, I'll spend the day drinking sensible drinks.
Until the football tonight. Right, Neiman is the market leader. We've got Patrick Reed, David Puig, Angel Ayora, Shikara, Thomas Dietrich, Matt Wallace, Hillier. It's around about 9-1, the field. How many selections for the Italian Open?
4 selections, Dave.
Okay, and how many have we got for the Travellers as well?
3.
Okay. 12 each way doubles if you would like to play. Who is the main pick then for the Italian Open?
Bernd Wiesberger, who was a hero for us in the China Open at the end of April, you might remember, won that event by 3 shots. That was his 9th DP World Tour title. This is a 40-year-old looking to finish his career with a flourish. He's 12th in the Race to Dubai rankings at the moment. So if he maintains his form, I think he'll get a PJ Tour car for next season if he wants one. But this is a fella that adores the DP World Tour. He left Liv because he missed the DP World Tour. He left LIV before the start of the 2024 season because he wanted to get back where he felt he belonged. I think he's going to get his 10th DP World Tour victory on Sunday. Wiesberger's game, based on accuracy, such as consistent ball striker, he'll plot a safe passage along these tight tree-lined fairways. He's one of the few in the field, Dave, with course experience. You know, these Italian Opens, quite a long time ago, he finished 23rd in the 2013 Italian Open at this venue. Then he was 6th in 2014. He opened with a pair of 66s in 2014. So we know he likes the course. We know he loves the tournament. He won the Italian Open in 2019, Dave, when it was a Rolex Series event. So, you know, high class field. It was in Rome. Lots of big guns there. He beat Matt Fitzpatrick by a shot that week. Now he returns to Italy in terrific form, you know, and chalked up as a remarkably big price again. I mean, I sometimes think that the odds compilers are a little bit ageist, Dave. You know, as a man in my late 40s now, you know, when players get to 40, the bookies seem to think that they're done for. But, you know, Bernd Wiesberger is 40 years old exactly, in his golfing prime, many might say. Certainly playing consistently well. And, yeah, one of the best players on the DP World Tour. That's the point to make. Yeah, I was surprised by the price.
Okay, well, he's a nice big price. 45s out there. Hoover up as many places as you can, of course. I did read up some quirky stats and trends that the Italian Open, regardless of venue, is an event that just seems to see those more experienced players fare well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Certainly this venue particularly. If you go through the leaderboard of 2013 and 2014, lots of wily old foxes on that leaderboard, Dave. Yeah, this is a classic old Parkland test. It's like a really traditional-looking golf course, this. And, yeah, the old guys dominated that leaderboard. Yeah, they got the patience for it. This is about patience, precision, calmness. I think the older guys are better at that.
The experience. Right. Okay, here's the main pick. We've got three more to come. I wonder if Molinari is among the team. We shall see. Right, who's the next best?
He was greatly considered, Dave. I'll address that immediately.
Yeah, just as we mentioned experience, yeah.
Well, Francesco Molinari, this is his home course, Dave. Francesco Molinari got loads of course knowledge. He's won the Italian Open twice. Massively considered, but rejected in the end for a younger Italian, actually. Gregorio De Leo. I can't ignore the claims of Gregorio De Leo. He's the next best. 26-year-old. He's from an hour up the road, Dave. He's from the city of Biella. That's an hour up the road. So he'll play this course before. He's played loads of amateur golf in Italy to a high level. He's had lots of success in Italy in junior and amateur golf. Turned pro in 2021. Topped the Alps Tour Order of Merit in 2022. So he won three times that season on the Alps Tour. Two of those victories were in Italy. He won the Italian PGA Championship in 2022 as well. Then he got through, he had a bit of time on the Challenge Tour. Then he went to Q School, got through Q School. So he got a card for last season on the DP World Tour. Had a decent rookie campaign, fifth in the Kenya Open, fourth in the Danish Golf Championship. This year, Gregorio De Leo has come of age. Ninth in the Qatar Masters at the start of the year, 16th in the China Open, 7th in the Turkish Airlines Open, 8th in the Sudal, 4th in the Austrian Open. That effort in Turkey, Dave, could have been much better. He was given a one-shot penalty for slow play on the 11th hole in the final round. So he's contending for a maiden title. He's nervous. He's on the 11th tee there. Tricky hole. He took 111 seconds to hit the shot. Obviously is a long time. I think when you're being monitored on the DP World Tour, it's completely random how these things happen. Like, they've only got a certain amount of referee, but that group is being monitored. So if he wasn't being monitored at that point, nothing would happen. But if you are being monitored, 50 seconds is the limit for a shot. So he's taken 111 seconds and then as he's leaving that green, he thinks he's made a good par. He thinks he's made a great par on that 11th. The official tells him one shot penalty, bogey. You know, young man, entitled to capitulate in rage. You know, we talk about staying calm. I mean, could you stay calm in that scenario, Dave?
I wouldn't have taken 111 seconds to play a golf shot.
No, fair enough. But I think poor Gregorio did well to finish seventh in those circumstances. Because, as I say, it seems so random. I mean, you remember when we were cheering on Wiesberger in the China Open? Well, I think you were fast asleep, to be fair. It was in the middle of the night.
I do remember the win, though. It was one, do you remember, that I do remember. So
But Adrian Ortegi was obviously going up against Wiesberger. Adrian Ortegi probably took more than 111 seconds over about a million shots. Like, he should have had about 59 penalty shots and got none. So it just seemed pretty random, this. But anyway.
Is this a player that I can get behind and not fall asleep watching him take a shot, right?
Yeah.
He's not mega slow.
Well, he's supremely accurate. He's a character. He's a bullion in the interviews. He formerly had an amazing bushy curly hair. He's gone through some great haircuts. I know that's important to you, Dave, when you're looking for heroes to worship. He shot 58 or 59, if I remember, on the Challenge Tour. He's a very entertaining character, and he was just unlucky to get that bad break. But the point is, finished seventh in Turkey. His form line is. He's probably the most in-form Italian, and he's a really juicy price.
And a little bit of local knowledge as well, which we like. Yeah. He lives an hour up the road. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, you often see Italians pop up in the Italian Open. They're greatly inspired by playing in this, and I think he is the Italian to focus on.
Good. Right, third man is...
Davis Bryant. Davis Bryant, another straight hitter we can trust at the Blue Course. He was a rookie last season as well. Same age as De Leo. Turned pro in 2023. He got through Q School to get on the DP World Tour. And he's quickly made an impact. On his Italian Open debut last year, he finished 10th. He started that event ranked 695th in the world. Tees off this week ranked 161st in the world. So in the last 12 months, that shows the rapid progress he's made. He was 4th in the BMW International last summer. 13th in the British Masters, played well in Australia just before Christmas. This year he's been even better. Bryant was runner-up in the Kenya Open, which is another test of precision. He's made the cut in his last eight tournaments, Dave. Nice. He was second in the Austrian Open. You might remember he played well in the Austrian Open at the end of last month and finished second. And I think takes great inspiration from Wyndham Clark. There aren't many players that can, but... Yeah, Wyndham Clark is from Denver, Colorado, Dave. He's 6 years older than Bryant. Bryant took over as the top-ranked amateur in Colorado. He won everything there was to win in Colorado amateur golf. He starred at Colorado State University. Bryant's dad, Matt Bryant, is the general manager of Green Valley Ranch Golf Club in Denver. So I looked into it. Matt Bryant started that job in 2006. He's been in it for 20 years. So... Matt Bryant, when Wyndham Clark was 12 years old, Dave, Matt Bryant was starting in that job in a Denver golf club that Wyndham Clark would have been hanging out at. So Matt Bryant and Wyndham Clark know each other. Davis Bryant is friends with Wyndham Clark as well. I've had a little look into it. So there is a small, this is the icing on the cake stuff we always look for. And the fact that Davis Bryant is friends with Wyndham Clark might inspire him. He'd be looking to follow in his footsteps. He tried to qualify for the US Open at Walton Heath and didn't make it. But yeah, the dream is for Davis Bryant that he can be the next big thing from Colorado.
I've had a little look into it. That's some rabbit hole that we've gone down there. But I like it. Listen, the homework has gone in. If it inspires him, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that was just the icing on the cake. Yeah, the key to the bet is the fact that he's a really precise golfer. And this course is right up his street. And he was really impressive on his Italian Open debut last year.
Okay, we've got one more player then in the team. Who is the fourth man?
Yeah, an even bigger price. Bryant is a big price, but Rafael Cabrera-Bale is an even bigger price. He keeps getting chalked up. You know, this is the ageist odds compilers. There's another 40-something here that been dismissed by these young odds compilers. And I think it's unwise to dismiss Rafa Cabrera-Bale.
He's been on your radar, right? A few times.
He has been on my radar, and you made a very good point about the old guys, the experienced guys, succeeding in the Italian Open, particularly on this course. Yes, there's a classic old design, accuracy, patience. Rafa Cabrera-Bale has got that in spades now. His driving accuracy stats this season, really encouraging. He's only 42. He played this course in that 2008 Challenge Tour event that I mentioned. He finished fifth in the 2008 Piemonte Open. He's had an up and down week in the 2014 Italian Open, but he shot 63 on the Friday. He went 73-63, finished 59th eventually in the tournament. But he's got course experience, like Wiesberger, driving extremely straight, churning out greens in regulation. Seven top 25 finishes on the DP World Tour this season.
That's good.
It's some solid golf from Rafa this season. Ninth in the South African Open, sixth in the Catalunya Championship, fourth in the Austrian Open last month. He was fourth in the 2018 Italian Open. It was a Rolex Series event back then, Dave. Fifth DP World Tour title for Rafa has been complete. That idea has been completely dismissed by the bookmakers. I think it's an entirely feasible scenario.
Sold. I'm in.
Stay calm, Dave. You nearly destroyed your desk.
No. I'm amazed at the price of him, actually. Amazed.
Yeah. No, I like amazing.
I've just found him as big as 130 out there, which is crazy.
Yeah. We've got four players there, all at juicy odds. There was one player at the top of the market that tempted me, and I rejected the advances.
And who was that?
I made my excuses and left, as the old News of the World reporters used to do when they were exposing sinister practices. That was Angeliora, Dave. Angeliora.
Disappointed with the lack of effort that you've put into saying his name, but it's okay. We can look beyond that.
It's part of the new Steve, Dave. It's the calm Steve. We call him Angeliora from now on, okay? In the spirit of calmness. Last name off the shortlist. Chalked up at 25 to 1 this week. The reason we've been resisting him recently is because he's been chalked up as a short price favourite. And there hasn't been justification for that. But
those prices are a distant memory. Gone.
Yeah, they've been taken. I can understand why the 25 to 1 was popular. It's the first time in ages that Angeliora has been chalked up at a value price. Because his short game was, we mentioned it, his short game in the KLM Open was so encouraging. It's the missing piece of the jigsaw, really, for Angeliora. Driving accuracy, but that's only because he hits it so far. But driving accuracy and short game are the two issues. But in the KLM Open, it looked really good on and around the greens. He's got a good record in Italy, Dave, on the Challenge Tour and in this tournament last year. By far the most tempting of the market leaders. But my four are better value than Angeliora.
Could Neiman shoot the lights out? He's the only player at single figures.
Yeah, you have to respect him. I mean, that seventh in the US Open with a two-shot penalty is really impressive. One live career, of course, at the end of last month. Maybe a bit jaded. Yeah, it's a long journey from New York to Turin. And wouldn't even
Why is he playing, Steve? Why is he playing?
Well, he's playing because Live Louisiana has been postponed this week. In the original Live schedule, Live Louisiana is this week. It's been postponed. If you're listening on Cloud Boom, wherever it's called, you won't see the fingers of
SoundCloud. It might be
SoundCloud. If you can't see my bewildered, increasingly sweaty
face,
that's
where you live, I think. Cloud Boom.
Cloud Boom. Yeah, I mean, I'm putting the fingers up because they're calling it postponed, but it's obviously cancelled. I mean, I would suggest it's almost certainly cancelled because Liv season looks like it's going to be the last. It's ending with a whimper. So yeah, Neiman and a lot of the other Liv guys who were going to play in Liv Louisiana are deciding to take this chance to play in this. It's single figure price, Wacom Neiman. I can't justify recommending him at that price.
I hear that. Anyone else you want to discuss? Patrick Reed, big fan, aren't you?
Yeah. I think he'll like this course better than the other guys at the top of the market there. But a surprising miscut in the US Open. His driving can be a bit loose, and I think that's probably the most important ingredient this week. Yeah, will he hit enough fairways to compete? At the odds, not interested.
Okay, anything else to add then in that case?
No, sir. We'll get on calmly to the Travellers Championship.
All aboard the RCB train. That is the train we're on this week. Right, okay, the Travellers then, which is, for anyone that cares, if anyone does care, the final signature event of the year. Where are we off to then, Steve? TPC River Highlands. Are we on 59 watch this week? It's going to be a putting contest, right?
Yeah. We have had one here. Yeah, it's in Cromwell, Connecticut. 6,844 yards. Par 70, only two par 5s, a peak die design. It's hosted since 1984. They had a redesign in 1989. We always get huge galleries here, Dave. Yeah, the Phoenix Open is the only non-major PGA Tour event which gets more spectators through the gates than this one. It's not far from New York. It's a very short journey. You might get some of the big guy who was abusing Rory McIlroy might be at this one as well. Rory McIlroy not playing. Maybe that's one of the reasons. But McIlroy's taking the week off. The rest of the world's top nine are in attendance. John Rahm, world number 10, not allowed. It's a short track by modern standards. The players will be hitting loads of wedges. Sunny on Thursday and Sunday, cloudy on Friday and Saturday. Calm throughout, so you're right, there'll be loads of birdies. Accuracy more important than length. Churn out greens and regulation, hole a few putts. That's the method for success here. The last four winners have been similar profiles, I would say. You know, steady players, world-class players.
Xander Slow Schofield. Players.
Certainly, yeah. Xander Schofield. Keegan Bradley is who you're referring to.
Yes, it
Scotty,
is.
Scotty Scheffler, then Keegan Bradley won again last year. So, yeah, similar profile of steady eddies who churn out greens and regulation. Keegan Bradley pipped Tommy Fleetwood last year. You must remember that one. Absolute heartbreak. Tommy Fleetwood virtually in tears on the final green there. But a point worth making, I think, the last PGA Tour maiden to win the Travelers. So the last maiden to win the Travelers was Ken Duke. Back in 2013, so that's a long time ago. The maybe the intense atmosphere is a reason for that. You know, as I say, loads of noisy spectators, and the maidens have not fared well. We've got a field of 72 going to post, no cut. Place your bets by noon UK time on Thursday.
Okay, when was the? I don't know if I asked you or if you gave the bet buy for the Italian Open.
6 a.m. UK time, Thursday.
Okay, good. Right, the show then. Scotty Scheffler is in the field, 9-2 favourite. And then Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, Ludwig Aubert, Sam Burns, Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas, Siwoo Kim, who's been well backed already, Cameron Young, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Russell Henley. The roll of honour, as Steve mentioned there, Keegan Bradley, Scotty Scheffler, Keegan Bradley, Xander Schauffele, Harris English, Dustin Johnson, back in 2020. Feels like a lifetime ago. We've got the Golden Triangle here, Steve, as well. Excited for that?
Well, I do like a bit of Dairy Lee, so yeah, I will enjoy that. I like a Dairy Lee Dunker now, though, rather than the triangles. I could demolish about 10 Dairy Lee Dunkers in a single sitting if you gave me the opportunity.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, right. You mentioned
I mean, 10 packets, not just 10 individuals.
You've got to have the ability to handle like a cauldron of pressure and a boisterous crowd. What else should we be looking for from the players? A bit of length? You know, are we just looking for good putters? Who's putting well? What are we looking for?
Similar to Italian Open, you've got to play from the fairway here. This is a short track, but it can get tricky from the rough. So, accuracy from tee to green is your policy for every golf bet you have this week, I'd suggest, in both Italian Open and Travelers.
Okay, right, we've got three players here, if I remember rightly.
We've got three.
Who's the main selection? Give it to me.
We got three. I was very close to having four. There was a 100-1 chance that I was umming and ahhing over.
We'll have that anyway.
I decided to discard him, so hopefully I won't pay the price for that. But yeah, the number one selection is Justin Thomas, Dave. Justin Thomas, who has made a superb return from injury. After last year's Ryder Cup at the end of September, did not play again until the Arnold Palmer Invitational in March. So almost 6 months away from competition, Dave. He had surgery on a herniated disc in that time off. How would he return? You know, he would have been asked himself the question, am I going to be the same player with after the surgery? Bay Hill had just an impossible starting point for that comeback. I don't know who advised him on that, but Bay Hill is phenomenally difficult for a player in a groove, let alone a player who's been off for the best part of 6 months. So he missed the cut there. But he hasn't missed a cut since Bay Hill, Dave. Eighth at Sawgrass, fourth in the USPGA. He's on a streak of five consecutive top 20s on the PGA Tour. He closed with a 69 on Sunday for 17th place in the US Open. He's gaining strokes in every department of the game. And that time off means he's going into this summer. You mentioned this is the last signature event. It feels like, I'm glad you said that, it feels like we've had about a million. And there's a lot of tired golfers out there, Dave. There's tired golfers going into play this week. There's tired golf tipsters going into play. JT's had that time off. I'd say he's fresher and hungrier than most of his rivals going into this summer. I love Justin Thomas. I say he's the best golf bet of the week in either event. TPC River Island serves up loads of wedges, Dave. And, Justin Thomas with a wedge in his hand. There may be no finer view in sport than when Thomas gets a wedge in his hand. It's a sight to behold. He played in the Travelers Championship when he was an amateur, Dave. in 2013. He finished 30th as an amateur in this event. He was third in 2016. His last three visits have yielded form figures of 9.59, which is fantastic already. Just the bare form is fantastic. But when you factor in that he's arrived for each of those events off of a missed cut in the US Open. We were close to having him last week, and the reason we left him out of staking plan is his terrible recent US Open record. So he's gone miscut, 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 and then gone to the Travelers the following week, 9.59. So I think a 17th PGA Tour title is coming for JT on Sunday.
Oh, he's 25-1 out there as well. Feels lovely.
Yeah, I know you love him, Dave. Yeah, yeah.
How can you not? I don't know him, obviously, but he feels and acts like a nice human being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not going to calm you down on this one, Dave. I'm trying to keep myself calm. I'm trying to keep you calm. But I'm just going to let you go on this one. I'm going to let the bridle go. I'm not real sure.
Let out an inch of rain and I'm gone, yeah.
Off the bridle, Dave. Yeah, let him go. And then, yeah, you do a Frank all the way to the betting shop until you back Justin Thomas.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, get as many places as possible. Each way, plenty here. We've got a job who's taken a lump out the book.
You forget how many times he's won on the PGA Tour, don't you? There's 17. Like, I was discussing last night with Tommy Tiger about Lionel Messi's World Cup career. You know, he became the highest goal scorer in the history of the World Cup last night. And like, you automatically think, oh, that must be a big number. Obviously, the World Cup only every 4 years. So it was 17, I think. Was it 17 or did he get to 18?
He's 17, yeah. 17 was the number.
And then I think he scored late and he might have got to 18, I don't know. But Justin Thomas, 17 PGA Tour titles. You know, one of the best players of his generation. And as I say, fresher and hungrier and the most in this.
And if the crowd whip up a frenzy, he's the sort of player that will thrive off that and embrace it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, if there's a carnival atmosphere and a boisterous crowd, you know, JT very popular and he'll feed off it. You're absolutely right. It's a positive.
I like it. All right, who else have you got for us?
Victor Hovland. Keeping the faith, Dave. Keeping the faith.
For him this week already.
Yeah, well, he missed the cut by a shot in the US Open. You know, he was brilliant over the weekend of the Canadian Open. Absolutely fantastic over the weekend of the Canadian Open. I'm told he had some really eye-catching form in US Open practice rounds. So the form is there. So it was a real shock that he missed the cut by a shot at Shinnecock. But you have to keep the faith because Canada was such an encouraging spin. Weekend rounds of 64 and 65 to finish third. He topped the strokes gained on approach stats. He was finding fairways with this new driver that he's put in play. He putted well as well in Canada. And at Shinnecock, it was a game of two halves, Dave. He opened with a 76, and then he shot 69 on the Friday. He made five birdies in round two.
Yeah.
You know, how many rounds last week at Shinnecock had five birdies in it? Only 15 players in the field outscored Hovland on Friday. So I think he would have made further progress up the leaderboard had he made the cut and sneaked through. Instead, he stayed at Shinnecock. He spent 4 hours on the driving range on Saturday, Dave. You know, they've got this new thing on the PGA Tour now where you can see who's on the driving range. I don't know if you've started using it. It's a brilliant new...
I've seen that, yeah, because you can see the shape of their shots as well, can't you? Yeah.
And how many they've hit. It's a fantastic new tool that I've...
Is it called Rangecast? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I think it is called Rangecast. And, I've got to be careful with it because, yeah, I can get addicted to Chinese takeaways. I can get addicted to these sort of things. It's really exciting when you can see how many shots, because you get a feel for how many, how they feel about the state of their game. I mean, Nikolai Hogar, I noticed yesterday, just hit a million balls on the driving range. Nick Taylor hit about 300 balls on the driving range yesterday. So he's gone to the Travelers Championship with a bit of concern. Victor Hovland hit zero balls on the driving range yesterday because he did all his work on the Shinnecock driving range on Saturday and spent 4 hours punishing himself for missing the cut, I guess. But just getting himself in that Canadian Open groove. So I think he's going to take out his US Open frustrations on the Travelers Championship. This is the 2023 FedEx Cup champion. We're all waiting for him to start winning big titles again. He won the Valspar Championship last season. It's easy to forget because he's been in this muddle with his swing for a long time, but he still managed to win the Valspar last year. I think an eighth PGA Tour title may be coming this week. His Travelers form, Dave, is steady. 54-11, 29-20. But last year, it looked like he was stepping up a gear in the Travelers. He opened with a 66, stumbled to a Friday 75, but then shot a Saturday 63. So he's gone rocketing up on the Saturday to 14th place. But yet in the final round, he withdrew after two holes with a neck injury. He had a few neck problems last year. You know, the Ryder Cup neck injury, I know you were suggesting that was a tactical play.
I don't think it was a tactical. I think
you're too cynical there, Dave. He had those neck problems building last year, and he withdrew despite shooting a 63 the previous day. So we know he can perform at River Islands. He opened with a 63 in 2020, actually. So I think this week you're going to see some 63s from Victor Hovland. I think you're going to see some fireworks.
And clean bill of health now for him.
Absolutely. Clean bill of health. And another player that will be turning up here hungry. Yeah, the fact that he missed the cut, he's fresh. I know he pounded balls on the range, but he's fresher than others. There's certain players turn up this week, you're not sure about their motivation, perhaps going through the motions. Not the case for JT, not the case for Victor Hovland.
Okay, right. One more player then. Who is the other selection?
Yeah, not the case for Harris English, who won the Travellers Championship in 2021. Five-time PGA Tour champion, won the Farmers Insurance Open at the start of last year. He was second in the USPGA last year and second in the Open. You know, big-time performances from Harris English. This is a class act. Like Hovland, missed the cut on the mark last week. I think they'll both benefit from a weekend out of competition. English didn't put as much range work in as Hovland, but that probably means he's just happy with his game. They'll both be very keen to contend in this. Be on full throttle when others may not be. He's played 15 tournaments this season, Harris English. 12 of them have yielded a top 30 finish. If you look at his form figures, he's consistently banking healthy checks. Checks that we can only dream of, Dave, but for him, they're pretty humdrum. So his bank manager's happy. It's been steady but unspectacular golf. The best golf he's played, Dave, came the week after a major in a signature event, the RBC Heritage. Again, a lot of Masters fatigue from other players, but Harris English switched on and finished fourth in the Heritage. So same scenario this week, signature event the week after a major. He was 18th in the USPGA earlier this year in May, 17th in the Memorial. Had a really strong weekend there. So again, like with Hovland, forgive the narrow miscut. Back in for a second Travellers victory. He's got other course form in the Travellers. He was 7th in 2014. Last year, signature event, 4th. So clearly loves this course, clearly loves this tournament. One of the best putters in the business. I love my team. As I say, I was just umming and ahhing over the fourth one, but I've decided that I just want bigger stakes on the three.
Indeed. Scotty Scheffler then, not in the team?
No. Won this 2 years ago. He's won this once, but you must remember he's played in every Travellers since 2020. He's always been playing in this event, so he's only won it once, and he's been coming since 2020. I don't feel any urge to play at those odds. General 4-1. Doesn't seem entirely happy with his technique, I'd say. You must have seen the eye-catching debates he was having with Randy Smith, his coach, on the driving range. There was a real lot of anger coming out. There's a lot of anger inside Scotty Scheffler, and he's calmed down. I could have a chat with him and explain my...
I'm sure he'd really appreciate that. Yeah.
Explain my philosophy to him. But yeah, he needs to calm down, because him and Randy Smith, poor old Randy was getting a rant from Scotty Scheffler. Yeah, and he's been ranting at Ted Scott. He likes a rant at the moment. But he missed some key putts in big moments. I think the reason he's not winning at the rate he was last year is that he's missing key putts he was holding during his hot streak.
He's got to putt well this week.
You're right. You've got to putt well. And I think he's a pretty easy decision to pass over at these odds. I like backing him on really tough courses. This is pretty straightforward, and he's not for me.
Was there anyone else near the top of the market that was on your radar?
Oh, near the top of the market? Yeah, there was. I mean, Ludwig Aubert, I mean, great final round at Shinnecock, Dave. 66 on Sunday. Nobody bettered that round on Sunday.
But you've got to have four good rounds, I'm afraid.
Exactly. I mean, you probably didn't enjoy his Saturday 76, did you? Because
I've got to be honest, Steve, he's edging towards the bin.
Yeah.
Because the prices he goes off, you see, like he's priced up like a player that is, you know, close, really close, knocking on the door, which doesn't really feel like his next win is round the corner. No. It could well be, but he's like as short as 14s in a place. Yeah. Generally 16s, 18s, not for me.
No. Yeah, I don't want you to put him in your bin, but
he wouldn't be in the bin if he was like a 40s chance or a 33s, and we can back him each way 10 places, just try and get in the frame.
Yeah.
But he's 18-1.
No, I understand your frustrations, Dave. Like that Saturday 76 was really disappointing, and you know the same concerns you have with Scheffler you must have with Ludwig Gilbert. Is he going to hold enough putts this week to this is going to be a birdie fest? I mean, there's been some rain at the start of the week. This is the scoring will be low this week. I don't think you can trust Ludwig Gilbert at those odds in this.
That's the point. He can win, but he won't be carrying my money at those prices.
No. And if we had put him up this week, we would have been hung, drawn and quartered by the commentators. So I don't wish to be...
That will probably come anyway, so don't worry.
I don't wish to be hung, drawn and quartered. But yeah, he was the only one from the top of the market.
Okay.
I mean, Xander Schauffele's putting was frustrating last week for those hoping for a healthy each-way return. I'm happy to play him in the US Open on a really difficult tee to green test, but I can leave Schauffele out for this one, even though he won this in 2022. He's obviously putting much better when he won this in 2022, so... No Schauffele, no Scheffler. Fleetwood, you know, as I say, so sad to see him lose this tournament last year and get pipped by Keegan Bradley. That was when he was a PGA Tour maiden. You know, maybe he'll look to come back as a PGA Tour champion and lay that ghost to rest. But I don't like those players that have played four rounds in the Canadian Open and then four rounds in the US Open.
Yeah,
the US Open is the most draining experience of the whole year because it's so difficult. And the heinous crowds probably added to that. So I think those that have had four in Canada, then four in US Open, are low on energy. Fleetwood is in that group, so I can avoid him. Now, the only one, Dave, was Ryan Fox, who's playing really well and wasn't getting enough respect in the market. Yeah, Ryan Fox at 100-1 is a good bet. I saw that those odds perhaps were going to be gobbled up by Shrewdies, but there's no way Ryan Fox has a 100-1 chance the way he's playing, but... He's also had that grueling schedule. So Canada four rounds and US Open four rounds. So I can live without him. I can live without him. Don't worry, Dave. I'm not going to lose my calmness even if he wins. I'm happy with my seven bets across two tournaments.
Good. 12 each way doubles if you want to play. Listen, we've got to talk. You've got the three lines in the background there, Steve. At time of recording, we are playing this evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Very remiss of me not to put the shirt on a match day. I've got a black shirt on, which I think attracts warmth, doesn't it? It's an absolutely massive affair of wearing a black shirt. I am
not something you need to be doing today.
No.
When you work,
when you work in a shed and the sun's beating down, I will go and change this. I mean, this is sort of symbolic of how my World Cup bets are going. It's like a funeral for my World Cup bets. I mean, Turkey eliminated already. Senegal were my other bet. I had two bets on lively outsiders, and Senegal haven't. You have 0 points from either of them. I'm still hoping Senegal can qualify. But tonight is all about calmness, Dave. The England game. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to stay in. I'm going to stay in and watch it with my daughter. Her bedtime is about sort of 9:30 normally, so she can stay up until for the first half at least.
That's the kind of negotiations that go on in my house.
Yeah. That's
half time.
Half time. It'll change as the tournament goes on, I would have thought. But this is a group game. Like, a draw is a good result, isn't it, for England? Just draw the game.
After we beat Croatia, I don't really care now until the knockout stage.
Nah, just put one more point on the board. I don't even know whether winning the group... I'm too busy with golf to know whether winning the group is advantageous. Someone put it in the comment section. Do we even want to win the group? Because it's so hard to work out with the third place guys coming in where you want to be, isn't it? I'm hoping Senegal finish third in that group. And you don't want to play Senegal. Trust me, they're a good team, dangerous team. So I don't even know whether England want to win the group. So my friend said, you kind of come down to watch it on the big screen and all that. I can't justify that at this stage of the tournament because, I'm trying to stay calm. I just don't see how you can get that enthusiastic at this stage of the tournament. Later in the tournament, I'll be more invested. But when you just need a draw against Ghana, there's no point going bananas, is there, Dave? I mean, I went out for the Croatia game, and when I got there, like, the fella started upselling. I think he was really disappointed with the crowd because it was an outdoor big screen, and the weather wasn't that great, and not many people turned up. And the fella behind the bar said, "You want a 2-pint cup rather than a 1-pint cup?" He was upselling to try and make up for it. He had these great big FA cups of beer.
So we won't hold that against him. Yeah.
No. I gladly accepted his offer. I mean, it's very easy.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah.
Very easy to upsell 2 points rather than one to me. But the point is, I can't justify that for a game against Ghana that we should draw would be enough.
We'll get to the knockout stages. We'll start donning the three lines. And
We'll have our flag out. Well, you know what day the World Cup final is, don't you, Dave? Obviously, getting well ahead of ourselves that England might be in that, but it's the final day of the Open Championship. So you've got, you've got a potentially mammoth day there. Open Championship.
There'll be no watch along. I can assure you of that.
No, I don't think
we'll be in no fit state for a watch along if England are in the final. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but yeah,
we are. Just quick, the other thing I'd like to ask you about is the arrows, Steve. What's going on?
We got US Darts Masters. So the World Cup's going on in America. The PDC have gone over to America. I think Luke Littler's been out there supporting England. So I think Luke Littler will be at the England game tonight, and then he'll be playing in the US Darts Masters, which starts on Thursday. It's a 2-day event in New York City. Maybe some of the crowd that were giving Wyndham Clark stick will come and give the darts players their support.
He'll fit right in. I just want to know who's going to win it, though.
Yeah,
really,
I can't tell you. The draw hasn't been out. I've been onto my sources to try and find out when the draw's out, so I don't know yet. But Luke Littler's the number one seed. This is one of the tournaments that Luke Littler hasn't won yet, so there's hardly any left. You know, the world's greatest sportsman. You know, the comment section will come alive again because there are a lot of people who can't handle a darts player being the world's greatest sportsman. But the undisputed world's greatest sportsman, Luke Littler, has won virtually everything there is to win in the game. Now he's won the World Cup the other day. So there's hardly any left, and this is one of them. So US Darts Masters, Luke Littler, if he's got his game face on and he's not too sunburnt from his trip to England, Ghana, it'd be a great...
And it's at MSG, right? Madison Square Garden?
Madison Square Garden, yeah. A proud boxing venue. I know you like your boxing, yeah. Maybe that...
Yeah, well, there is two rooms. So I'm assuming the darts is in, like, the theatre room, right?
It's in the theatre room, yeah. So it's a great venue. It's a great venue. Yeah, I'd like to think Littler will be inspired by the surroundings. You know, historic venue. Is that picture behind you? Is that Madison Square Gardens where Muhammad Ali was doing the business there?
You like the gloves as well, didn't you, Steve? I put the gloves on.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed by Josh Taylor.
Josh Taylor.
I'll have you
Taylor.
Yeah.
Any relation to Nick Taylor? No, I'm not sure with Josh Taylor.
No.
Exciting times ahead, Dave. Yeah, I can't tell you who's going to win, but I'll let you know when the draw comes out. But yeah. So it's all happening, Dave. Focus on the goal.
It is, yeah.
Stay calm.
Just remember to stay calm. It's all happening, but stay calm.
Keep your fluids up. That's very important in this weather.
Good. I'm glad to know that. That's good. Right. Let's have a reminder then. Of the selections. The Italian Open, who are we going for?
There was a drama a few years back on ITV or something. It was about this sort of serial killer, and he killed his wife or something, but he always used to give her like poison or whatever, and just slowly killed her with this poison. And he used to say, as he'd give it to her, "Keep your fluids up, munchkin," and he calls her munchkin. So like whenever I during this hot weather, I often go to the wife, "Keep your fluids up, munchkin," just offer a little glass of water. Just it's good banter. It's world-class banter.
Or a broadcasted confession there. Who knows?
No. I don't think you'd like it if your pet name was Munchkin, would you, Dave? I might try and get that in sweet spot, but it's so hot in here now. I'm bubbling over. See, I'm trying to stay calm, bubbling over.
Tell us who you're putting up this week. Yeah, Remind us, and you can be on your way.
No worries, my little Munchkin. Italian Open. Bernd Wiesberger, Gregorio De Leo, Davis Bryant and Rafa Cabrera Bello.
And the Travellers?
On the tee and the Travellers, Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland, Harris English.
And you have told us already in this show that the best bet of the week is Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas is the best bet of the week, yeah. I think all of my tips there are value prices, but Justin Thomas is the one I got most conviction on. I love doing the tea time voice, you know, announcing the tea time. I'd love to have that job, but I wouldn't have the... my bladder's not strong enough for that job. You've got to have a strong bladder for that job.
Listen, we are sponsored by our friends at SBK, who are the official betting partners of the DP World Tour. That is the challenge I will throw out to them. For an event, at some point, I want to hear Steve's dulcet tones calling out the players. Make it happen.
Yeah.
SBK, make it happen.
Okay, yeah.
We want to see it. Right, Steve, it's been a pleasure. Keep warm, stay safe, stay calm and all that. Enjoy the golf.
Keep warm.
Keep warm. You won't have to worry about keeping warm. You out there, do get involved with us. We'd like to hear from you. Jot yourself in the comments who you're backing this week. Will England go all the way in the World Cup? Whatever. Will Luke Littler win the darts? We don't care. We want to hear from you. Enjoy the golf. Gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next week.